This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
What's going on, YouTube? Rick here. Longwood, Texas Open recap, as well as looking ahead to, yes, the Masters. Make sure you are liked and subscribed to this video. We'll jump into it right now. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman. That right there, Mark Immelman, coming to us all the way from Augusta, Georgia. You're there, Mark. How's it going?
I wore my only green Masters sweater for the trip up here to Augusta. It was a nice drive, not very much traffic through Atlanta, which is always good. And got to the golf course, had a little quick look around, and it's in sensational shape. We've had sort of a dry-ish lead up to this. There were a lot of rain last week and cold. So dry and cold, so the grass has got a little sheen about it already, which is nice. Not all the blossoms are out, but there's going to be some warm weather, so those may pop later in the week. Then we've got some cold weather and some wind over the weekend. So it's going to be a fun one, I'll tell you what.
And we are already seeing golfers out on the range. And Mark, one of them, Tiger Woods. Now, he gave us a little bit of a warning so that we did not have to track the plane this morning, because he tweeted out Sunday morning, "I will be heading up to Augusta today to continue my preparation and practice. It will be a game time decision on whether I compete." He would then go on to congratulate Anna Davis, who won the Augusta National Women's Am, and wish good luck to all of the drive, chip, and putt contestants. Mark, Tiger has not fully committed. This sounds good. He didn't rule it out yet, but he hasn't fully committed.
Well, I watched him a bit on the range, and he basically went through the bag, hit some short irons and hit a few medium irons, a lot of those, and then hit a few long irons, a few fairway middles, and then unloaded a few drivers. Not one of them at full speed, I didn't think. And then the final one, or maybe the second to last one, he let go a little bit. And it was sort of the one got hit pretty well and then went to go play the second nine. So out there playing nine holes later on. And look, I'm curious as to what he's doing, because if he's nursing the knee, then I'd be like, okay, there should be a little less golf going on. But from what I'm told, I didn't see it. He was on a golf cart, so that makes a lot of sense. But I think maybe the decision about if the knee is good enough to go might have been made already. And now we're just biding our time. But who knows? I'll tell you what, if nothing else, it is the buzz of the place right now. You know, the Masters and the golf course, it grabs the lion's share of the storylines, but Tiger Woods is controlling the narrative right now.
I'll tell you what he's doing, Mark. He's playing. This has been a marathon. Imagine if you were going to run a marathon in 4 days, Mark, you would know whether you were good enough to go right now. That's the situation that we are in with Tiger Woods. There is, unlikely anything that's going to change in the next couple of days. This guy's playing golf on Thursday morning.
The only thing that concerns me, And this is just me sort of waxing a little bit, Rick, is that, you know, he flew up today, so that intimates that he was flying back this evening when he was done, and then maybe traveling up here Tuesday for the champions dinner, which he was likely to do anyway. So if that's the case, he's done all the reconnaissance and stuff. There's been a lot of change to the golf course, I'll tell you that. You know the 11th and 15th holes, a lot has been made about the adjustments there to some sight lines off the tees and some lengthening of holes. But Vijay Singh mentioned to us, he's like, man, I feel like something's been changed on every green around this place right now. And he would know, because he's played here so often. So I think there's been a lot of reconnaissance on the go by Woods. I'm curious that he's not in town already for good. So I don't know. Do I think he's likely to play? Yes. But if you ask me in about 15 minutes after I've had a glass of wine, I'll probably tell you no. So that's where we are right now.
Well, we're going to get a lot of information, hopefully, on Tuesday, Mark, because I was looking through the press conference schedule. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you know it, Tiger Woods slated for 11 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. We know everything he's going to be asked, and that will be must-watch television.
Well, all those press conferences always are. I'm telling you what I think. Look, Tigers will always be great, and he's a lot more chatty in the media. I should call it the press center now. Than he was back in his career. But I'm looking forward to Wednesday and the chairman's message. I think Chairman Ridley is going to be asked a whole bunch of really pointed questions about a whole bunch of really pointed stuff. And I'm keen to see where the Masters Club takes their position on certain things like that little upstart golf league and stuff like that. But Tiger, he's controlling the narrative right now. It's exciting. I'll tell you this thing. I was speaking with Kelly Tillman because I'm standing in tomorrow morning on the Masters on the Range show at noon. And so we were chatting and basically doing the rehearsal for the setup. And I was like, consider this for a minute because Tiger will be the story. And she goes, well, the Tiger I know, and she knew him well because she was with Golf Channel when he was basically coming up from the amateurs into the pros and became a star. And she was sort of in his inner circle. And she goes, the Tiger I know would never play if he didn't believe he could win. And I was like, yeah, I know that too. But I want to say that the Tiger now is likely to play just to prove to the people that this is once again a miraculous comeback from what was nearly a life-changing injury. And the fact, if he tees it off on Thursday morning, I feel like that'll be a win in itself. Because remember, he was the guy just a few months ago that was basically tempering all of our expectations, saying, oh, I don't know what the future holds. I'm going to play a little bit, but I don't know when. Right now, it's just day by day, all this giving us this sort of stuff. And he seemed really contrite and really candid about the thing. But now, all of a sudden, he's on the doorstep of teeing off in the Masters around a difficult golf course to walk, and it's a possibility. So for me, if we hear four, please, Tiger Woods now driving Thursday, that will be a win in itself and borderline miraculous. So for me, that's the entire storyline right now.
It absolutely is. We are on essentially 24-hour-a-day Tiger Woods watch leading up to Thursday morning. But Mark, looking at a couple of other little nuggets for the Masters, you were probably on the road. You probably didn't see this. Jordan Spieth, of course he did, gained 7 strokes to the field from tee to green on Sunday, trying to work his way into form for the Masters. His single best round from tee to green since 2015, according to Justin Ray. But maybe the concern here, Mark, for the week, second worst putter in the field. So here we go. Spieth finds a little bit of magic on Sunday heading to Augusta National.
Yeah, the Spieth I saw earlier in this week just wasn't too sure about where the driver was going. And you don't have to drive it great around Augusta, but you've got to give your irons a chance. And we've got some rain forecast for Tuesday, which might soften the place a little bit. But if it's firm, you've got to be so precise with the iron game. So you cannot afford to play from the second cut. Even Jordan Spieth, who's got an element of wizard about him, he's like Merlin with a golf club in his hand. But Jordan, to me, at Augusta National, is kind of like Phil Mickelson. It's like Jose Maria Lothabel. These guys come in here leaking form a little bit. You put them in a car down Magnolia Lane, and something happens. And something in their mind gets flipped. They have a good practice. They get on the golf course where you can't play too much golf swing around there. You got to just craft shots and hit shots on their merit and all that sort of stuff. And all of a sudden, Jordan Spieth gets to doing Jordan Spieth stuff. And then you put together one or two rounds, then you suddenly start to believe that, hold on, I can contend. And I expect more of the same because this golf course, as you and I talked maybe last week or whenever it was, there's sort of a conundrum to it and you figure it out. And once you have the recipe to play it properly, even if you don't have your best stuff about you, you can still cobble together a score if you know where and how to hit it and certainly where to attack and where to defend. And Spieth knows that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if he plays well next week. It would not shock me.
Eyes and ears will be on Tiger Woods. Eyes and ears will be on Rory McIlroy, of course, trying to complete the career Grand Slam. But Mark, when I just zoom out here, it's Jordan Spieth. Recent form, a bit questionable. We'll see. But the top players in our game, seem to all be playing well right now. And guys that we might not have even thought were top players at last year's Masters or even 6 months ago, the emergence of Cameron Smith, the emergence of Scottie Scheffler. We are heading into Masters week with a crop of a dozen, maybe 18 guys that are playing their best right now. I mean, I can't remember it being this deep heading into a major championship.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I'll tell you what, Cam Smith is a really good call. Just because he's played so well here before. He loves the place. The Australians do so well. And, you know, Adam Scott for them was kind of like the seal breaker because Greg Norman could never win the thing. So now they believe that this is a possibility. And he has to be a contender. But you add to that, you know, Hovland and Morikawa, who've now played this golf course under tournament conditions a couple of times. And so they're getting to work it out a little bit. You would think that this place sets right up Morikawa's alley, the way he strikes his irons. But if he can make a few putts, then it'll be a reality. You can't fake it on the greens around you. That's the one thing. And it's kind of like we saw out of JJ Spawn in the final round here. Hit the ball well, certainly. You had to around the TPC San Antonio. But he made those 5, 6, 7 foot putts all day long. And that's what you've got to do at Augusta National. You're very rarely getting tap-in pars and stuff like that. You're always grinding from 3 to about 6 feet for par, even if you're hitting the ball well. So you cannot go in there with a leaky putter. So Morikawa, those sorts of guys, you would think they're all likely to play well, and it's going to be exciting to see. I feel like the weather will have a big say-so because the winds that are forecast over the weekend is the kind of stuff where it's like 15 to 20 gusting. And with these targets where sometimes you have a corridor of about 5 to 10 feet to land it in, that's hard if it's good conditions. But then you throw in a changing breeze in there, it's downright impossible. So I get a sense for the fact that conditions will have a large influence on what happens late Sunday afternoon.
One final thought about Augusta National, Mark. We talked last night about Anna Davis, the 16-year-old lefty from San Diego, winning the Augusta National Women's Am, and you made parallels to Jennifer Kupcho, who participated in the event a few years prior. Well, now, Kupcho, as we chat right now, 7 shots clear at the Chevron in Mission Hills might be a little, something you could see out of Anna Davis in the future. Obviously, you don't want to put the expectations on her, but that's kind of the path for some of these young golfers and how quickly they can get to the top of the game.
Yeah, well, first off, good on Jen Kupcho. I hope she finishes it. Because she hadn't had a win since that win, turned pro and sort of has had middling finishes. So what a way to crack the seal when you win a major championship. But you're right. You win an event like the Augusta National Women's Amateur or, you know, the U.S. Amateur or something like that, and it proves to you that you can. And so whatever level you are, then you're like, okay, then I'm ready for the next level. I've always been a firm believer in that, you know, you've got to win at every level that you play at before you can advance to the professionals. Now, there are outliers. I know someone will argue with me on that. But if you can beat your peers at one level, then it proves that you're ready for the next level where they will probably be too, and then add to that a number of guys that are there already. So each level, there's a new devil. So if you can beat your competitors in a big event like this around a difficult, challenging golf course, it proves that you can do it. And now look, Jen Kupcho is sort of proving the fact.
Yeah, absolutely. So they are still out there on the golf course right now. I'd be remiss if we did not add one more voice to the conversation, all things Masters. There he is. We got him. Greg Ducharme is here. What's up, Greg?
I'm happy my voice can be a part of it. What's going on, boys?
Yeah, you sound much better.
I'm feeling much better. So that was last week was... Let's just say the timing was, it's better this way than if that was all happening this week. So I'm feeling much better. I'm really excited for the week. It's going to be a jam-packed week and it should be fun. And I am just so excited for this tournament. I'm so excited for JJ Spawn that he's going to have a chance to go play the Masters. I'm excited to see the changes to this golf course. I'm excited to see what happens with Tiger. And those things are, they said, apart from the fact that we have, what is it, all the top 20 players in the world playing, and the list probably goes a little farther than that. I mean, this field is loaded with the best players in the world at the best golf course, at the greatest tournament in the world. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we were chatting just for a bit here, Greg. The Tiger Woods non-committal but non-removing himself from the field was the news of the morning. And then we saw photos and we saw video. Tiger out there yucking it up with Billy Horschel, going through the bag. Everything looking pretty good for the big cat. I'm firmly in the he's a go category. Where do you stand?
He's a go. I'm in the 95% category here. And I was last week as well, when I heard he played a practice round, and that really pushed me way up there again. I mean, you go back to when Joey, the rumors came out that Joey LaCava was at medalist and they were walking. That told me he intended on playing. And I think there's a difference between him deciding to play, and putting the tee in the first and putting his tee in the first tee box and actually competing. And those are two very different things. And when you talk about the hilly golf course, the challenge of the walk, potential weather we may get, a potential shutdown, which makes the schedule that much more difficult, those things affect his performance. They don't necessarily, in my opinion, affect the participation. And he really wants to play. And every piece of evidence that I've seen has been he's going to play. And again, that 5% I leave out there is for a setback. This is a guy who still has some back issues. He still has leg issues. We don't know what kind of other issues those injuries may have created, if any. And you don't know if he's going to wake up and feel the way he did in Paris in 2018, or at the President's Cup on Saturday morning when he was the captain and he just didn't play that day. Is he going to wake? That's where that 5% comes from. But everything else I've heard says, yeah, he's going.
Do you think if we have a rain delay, Mark, every golfer will go to their car and play on their cell phone like Hideki Matsuyama did before he came out and just scorched earth on Saturday last year?
No. I'll tell you why, because the facilities for the players are just so great. I mean, the food in a lot of the players go to the caddy house. It's a wonderful place to hang out. There's tables in there, guys playing cards. The food is fantastic. It's just a great spot. And you just walk out the door and you're right on the tournament practice facility. So Decky, well, that's sort of what he does because he keeps to himself a lot. But so I don't think the players will. I wanted to say, if you talk rain delays, because we got some chilly weather, to add to Greg, lead muscles and mobile muscles support bone structure, obviously. So again, I'm not trying to be some negative guy that's throwing water on your parade. I'm just saying that could have a bit of an influence on what might happen later in the week when the weather cools down.
We'll get some warm weather there. We'll cook it up. We'll send it over. We'll make sure Tiger's all ready to rock and roll. I'm very, very close to declaring it Masters Week, but we've got to give JJ Spahn his due. We're going to talk about JJ. We're going to go through our best bets. We'll talk about our one and done selections. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. JJ Spahn wins the Valero Texas Open at 13 under par, thanks to a Sunday 69 that included a, yes, double bogey on number one, Greg. He tried to play himself out of this on the very first hole of the day. He would make birdies at 6, 8, and 9. And I'll tell you what, he looked pretty darn steady coming in as the rest of the field was struggling around him.
He hit the ball beautifully today. I mean, he missed some fairways. He missed some greens, but he kept the ball in the right spot. He wasn't in the incredibly difficult position. And I was so impressed with him, because when you have that, the short game was just phenomenal too. And that's what makes a player look solid. When you miss and you're able to come up with the save and make it look easy, it just looks like a solid round. And that's what JJ Spahn did today. But I was so... You know, somebody on Twitter was talking about how we spoke about him on Monday, and we've been very high on him over the last couple of weeks. But when you start off with a double bogey like that, it doesn't make the, hey, I think you should ride this one out and stick with JJ Spahn if you had him earlier in the week. It doesn't make that look very good. But he stayed so steady and so strong. I mean, this is the first time this has happened on the PGA Tour since 2008. We all remember who did that. Tiger Woods, he made a double on the first hole in the final round and won. It hasn't happened since then. So that is a major, major setback. And he was able to stay steady, calm the ship, and let the birdies come on their own terms. There was no panic in JJ Spahn today, which was really impressive.
He's going to move up to the number 10 in the FedEx Cup standings. And even more importantly, Mark, he's punching his ticket to Augusta National. He's in. So he will be the 91st player in the field. And outside of maybe his tee shot on 18, where he just yanked it into a, I don't even know what type of area it was.
That area is unknown, Rick.
Unknown, yes. The native area is what I believe.
Just to get there.
That's right. It is. I thought JJ was impressive. And this is a guy who has, you know, battled the misdiagnosis with his diabetes. And it's just been a lot to throw at him. And when you looked at the top of the leaderboard, Mark, it was a lot of guys trying to get that breakthrough victory. Spahn's the one who comes out on top.
Yeah, a couple things. I've been on the putting green at Augusta National Monday morning, Masters Week, when the winner from the evening before arrived after registration and stuff. And they are beaming from ear to ear. And it's not just the victory. Look, that's important because of all of the stuff that comes alongside of it. But just to make it to the Masters is such a big deal. And this will be his first one. So, I mean, I got to tell you right now, he's got some media commitments that they're doing right now and thanking volunteers and all that sort of stuff that you do as a champion after you've done with the television. But when they hop on that plane tonight, it's going to be, I wouldn't say raucous, but they are going to be giddy with excitement. So I'm happy for him because he's a really, really good guy. But to build on your point about the other guys all having a shot, yeah, it was. The golf course was there to be had, and we saw some guys early. You mentioned Spieth. He went out there and did 67, and Corey Connors, I saw, shot 67, and there were a few guys who put together good scores, Adam Hadwin. So it was there to be shot, but just sadly, the last few groups just didn't put any pressure whatsoever. And it was essentially, look, Spahn doubles the first, but if you double the first and you get run over by 10 guys that have started with three birdies, then it's like the impossible hill to climb. But no one really was doing anything. So it was almost like who was going to survive with the least issue coming in. And that was JJ, because he hit the ball, he struck the ball well, but man, he just kept footer after five footers. He made a beauty there on 17 even, just to maintain the two-stroke lead to sort of give himself a little wiggle room there coming down the last.
Yeah, he was rolling seemingly everything into the middle of the cup. And Greg, you know, you look at some of the other guys who kind of struggled, like the cracks in the game when you're in these pressure moments playing for the high stakes. I mean, Dylan Fratelli did not have himself a good day, a 73, one over par. He drops to T8. My buddy Bo Hostler did not have a good day. He'll be the first to tell you that. And even par rounds of 72, you could physically see the stress and the moment on a lot of these guys' games. They played so well for 63 holes, and you still got to finish it off.
You know, sometimes when you're in that position where you're right near the lead at the start of a round, and all of a sudden it whittles away a little bit, or your game feels like it's not really performing, you're expecting to not really be near the lead anymore. And you're still near the lead, and you still have that expected pressure of, I can still win this thing, but I don't quite have it. And it compounds things into this pressure without your A game. And you never really, and that's what I think you see out of Fratelli, out of Bo Hostler, out of even Matt Jones on the second nine, when all of a sudden he's in the lead after going out in five under. All of a sudden you're there. And it's so hard to finish it off. The momentum has a way of changing, and it's like you're in a holding pattern. It doesn't put any urgency on you because you're not three back all of a sudden, and you got to start making some birdies to catch up. You're just kind of waiting for someone to make a move. Ultimately, JJ Spahn did, and nobody else could find that gear to go catch him.
Let me add one more voice to our foursome here, Kyle Porter, KP, welcome.
What up? I have no idea if I'm on the right microphone.
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. I thought you guys needed my Dylan Fratelli takes, so here I am.
Yeah, how about this? You want to talk about JJ Spahn or Tiger Woods, which is a question no one has ever been asked before.
Tiger looks good. Like, just physically, he looks like good.
I thought he looks great.
Did you guys already talk Tiger, I'm guessing?
Of course we did, but we want to give you an opportunity to talk about Tiger.
I'm keen to see. Give me your take on why it looks good. I'm keen to hear that, Kyle.
Just like he looks like a healthy human being. I have no idea if he like is swinging good. I mean, we got a report from Evan Priest that it's the best, or it's the worst ball 66 report. Did miss a shot on the range. Okay, like what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. I think so. I got a couple of Tiger takes that I need to unload. One, and I said this on Twitter, you don't like going to Augusta to prepare for a tournament, playing Augusta National to prepare for a tournament is like me giving my kids their Christmas presents on like December 23rd and letting them play with them for like 2 days and then being like, you know what? You're actually not getting these presents this year. You're getting them next year. Right? Like, of course, like he's not like he's going to the allure of that place is such that it's going to be impossible for him not to play no matter how he's feeling. And then I think the other thing, and people were just torching me for this, and I will double and triple down on it over the next week. He's not going to be like, he's not going to contend to win. Right? Like he's, I think people underestimate how difficult it is to take 17 months off as a 46-year-old who's had five back surgeries and almost lost his leg. Like, if he makes the cut, that's miraculous. And maybe he will, but like, I just think people are sort of like freaking out about like Tiger's a contender. It's like, is he? I don't really think he is. So that's kind of where I'm at with both of these things.
That's why I just want to add to that. The sensible opinion would say that Tiger's not going to contend just because of everything he's gone through. But remember I mentioned at the top of the show that I feel like the weather on the weekend with these winds and stuff that we're expecting, that are forecast, look, it might not show up. I feel like that's going to throw the cat amongst the pigeons in the big way. And that's when if you know how to play this place and you're just lurking around the show, you could suddenly find yourself in contention. Now, I'm not saying that's likely to happen with Tiger Woods, but it may be something you want to pay attention to, because when you get gusty breezes and stuff around there, you saw what happened to Francesco Molinari and Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka, and then there was one Tiger Woods just lurking around the show who suddenly stumbled himself into another green jacket. So Tiger Woods, the guy's proved me wrong so many freaking times. I'm not going to do it again, okay? I really am not.
If there's one reason why he would perform well, it's his head. It's his smarts. Right, it's attacked. And I don't know how long that can last. So, Kyle, I completely understand where you're coming from. And I definitely wouldn't torture you for it. I always wonder if this is, you know, a Fred Couples scenario where and I know that those guys were playing on PGA Tour champions, but there are some players who have had the ability to step up here more so than anywhere else. And I think it's because it asks for so much thought, so much tact, and it can give you, if you play the holes the right way, it actually gives you a wider margin for error. But if you play from the wrong side, it gives you no margin for error. So that's why knowledge is so important. Understanding is so important. But that does, it still requires execution.
Totally. And I think that, you know, I think people keep comparing this to 2019. It's like, oh, he proved you wrong then. It's like, yo, he had like 2 years or a year and a half of building up to that, right? Like, I think people act like 2019 came out of nowhere, and it's like, he hit it great at Riviera. He hit it great at Mexico. He hit it great at like three or four places that he played that spring leading into the Masters. And people act like, oh, he just showed up after a year off or 2 years off. No, he had like hit the ball great. He had won after that comeback. I mean,
the Tour Championship.
He won the Tour Championship. If you look at his first few starts in 2018, this was like the start of that comeback. He goes T23 at Farmers, miscut at Genesis, and 12th at Honda Classic. Those are his first three starts in 2018 after a ton of time off in 2016, 17. And this was like the most recent big comeback. And that's I think the Farmers T23, like, I think that would be like a win for him this week if he plays this finishing T23. And I agree with Mark, like, he's wise enough and smart enough around that place that is not out of the question. I just get a little bit like leery of people being like, he's there to win. Like, he's got this. And it's like, maybe, but that's a lot to ask of a 46-year-old who almost lost his leg 14 months ago.
Kyle, I'm here with you. I think let's when he tees off Thursday morning. I'm now saying that I said to Rick earlier, you can convince me one way or the other and I'll go in both directions. When he tees off Thursday morning, it could arguably be one of the greatest wins of his career, sure, given where he was just over a year ago. Think about that for a minute. Even 6 months ago, when the guy's still on his back and could barely walk, I mean, teeing off Thursday morning is downright miraculous.
I totally agree. And a great story, worthy of celebration.
The professional prognosticators out of Las Vegas are essentially having an even money right now, Greg, for Tiger Woods to make the cut. What side you want on that one?
I'll tell you. I want him to make it. I think I'd say he's going to make the cut. I think it'll be a higher cut. I mean, it looks like Friday.
20 mile an hour winds out of the west.
20 mile an hour winds. Now, the one thing is, this could be another Players Championship scenario. If Thursday is bad and you get a lot of thunderstorms and a wave misses, the draw could be a huge deal in this event again. So what side of that is Tiger on? My prediction would be Tiger would be early, late.
He always goes early, late. They went in Friday afternoon at Augusta.
That's right. Right. So you figure Tiger's early, late. So if there's, do they get that round in, or does that round have to start on Friday at some point in the wind? And then another wave gets an advantage. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know yet how severe those thunderstorms are going to be. If a wave, or if everybody can finish round one on Thursday, if it's a portion of it. But that could be a real deciding factor in my answer there. But all things being equal, I think you're going to see a rather high cut number. And I think that means Tiger's going to make the cut. Hopefully play the weekend, but he'll make the cut, I think.
Yeah, 91 in the field now with JJ Spaun, top 50 and ties. I see a scenario in which Tiger probably gets worse every single round, right? I think he could come out, shoot 72, make the cut, and then you start to see what kind of wears on him as the week goes on in multiple competitive days in a row. So we'll keep an eye on all that. Gentlemen, I got to get to our best bets, are one and done selections, and then I'll officially declare this Masters week as if we've not already been talking about it for the past 32 minutes. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Best bets. I can be quick. We stink. I had McNeely over Tony Finau. That's a loser. Coach had Charlie Hoffman top 20. That's a loser. Kyle had Chris Kirk top 10. That's a loser. Anybody with any thoughts, or I can just move right along?
No, just move on.
Move on.
I have a feeling it's not getting any better.
One and done. Kyle and Sia, the two bottom dwellers, my apologies, both went with Chris Kirk. KP, $42,828 for Chris Kirk, moving your season-long total to $1,669,000.
I feel like I've been between T35 and T57 for the last 7 weeks. I keep making cuts, and it's just like 40,000, 40,000, 50,000, which is brutal. I was hoping for a big weekend. I think he was good on Saturday and then just shot even par on Sunday. So kind of a bummer. I need a miracle. Me and Tiger both.
Well, $2 million up for grabs next week. That'll move you up the board. If you found the winner next week, you could get to maybe fourth.
Bernard Longer. Nobody else is going to take him.
That is certainly.
That's true.
For sure. C is at $2,065,000. I'm at $3.4 million. I had Mav McNeely, Greg. I had him. He was there. He was in the mix. Two over on Sunday, drops to T35, and I also get $42,828.
Rick, I was looking at that, last night, looking at the board saying, who's the... There are 20 guys who can win. Who are my favorites? Well, Spawn, because we liked him earlier in the week. So I'll ride that out. And I guess if there's one other guy, McNeely was the guy that popped out to me. I thought you were in great shape. That was a really disappointing round today.
Thank you. I also feel the disappointment, but maybe not as disappointed as you, Greg, who got $0 from General Patton Kazire.
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm disgusted. This is awful. It was awful. I mean, Gary Woodland, I could have played Adam Hadwin. I could have played. This was just terrible. It was bad work by me. I don't know what I was thinking. And I loved it on Tuesday. Terrible.
Greg, you remain at $3.5 million. Now, Mark, you and the fans rode together this week, and you ended up on Corey Connors, who also found you that magic number, $42,828.
Yeah, the fans have done a whole lot better than me over the last few weeks, though, to be truthful. We got this thing stuck in neutral a little bit, and I was somewhat surprised, really, at the way Connors played, because it's the kind of golf course that really fits. I thought he was coming in with decent confidence. And all of a sudden just kind of was sort of stuck in neutral, then had a horrid Saturday, came back, was sort of halfway respectable today, but the 42 on my behalf was a little disappointing, and I'm sure the fans kind of feel the same way.
Well, the 42,000 does keep you just clear of Jacob. How about that, Mark? Jacob is leaping at your heels. Siwoo Kim, $158,000. Just a $26,000 difference over $5.2 million at the top. Wow, pretty good.
Yeah, Jacob's been on a bit of a run here of late. And the problem for me is that I've went with some blue chippers over the last few weeks that got me next to nothing. So we need a big Masters if anything is for sure.
Yeah, Jacob, come in here, because you
see, Jacob, what a pick.
Yeah, so let's look at Jacob's run here. So once Jacob gave up on the season, He took Adam Hadwin, Kevin Kisner, Siwoo Kim over the last 3 weeks, got $1.7 million over the last three. This is still part of a run where he took Nikolai Højgaard. So that's the kind of part of the season we're in, Jacob. You've changed your strategy and you have flown up the leaderboard.
Rick, it's the same strategy. It's the same strategy. You look right above that. Colin Morikawa, $0 at the players.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy, only $250,000. I mean, that's okay, I guess. I mean, I even picked Ricky Fowler at one point. I don't know what I was picking, what I was thinking in the past there. I've already got some bullets left in the tank. I know who I'm
picking. You put bullets in a tank?
Yeah, I guess you do if you're Jacob.
That might be your problem.
And Mark always talks about it. I'm looking forward to next week having that chaser's freedom, you know. I don't have the target on my back in the come Masters week, so I can just make a pick. Hopefully I'm different from you guys and we can get ahead.
Jacob is knocking on the door of taking the lead. He has a combined $0 from Abraham Anser, Sung J.M., Ricky Fowler, Cameron Tringale, Victor Hovland, Bubba Watson, Nikolai Højgaard, no surprise, too big, and then Colin Morikawa. $0 combined from those guys. He's $26,000 off the lead.
We got Cameron Tringale in there too, who, known for making money.
Jeez. Hey, Rick, I need you to let your boy Vic Hovland know that he's let me down a little bit there in recent weeks.
I'm sure he will be quite upset about that, Mark. I'll pass.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Yeah, but you tell him anyway, okay?
Yes. All right. We've got, that's it. We've got nothing else to do. So I can now officially declare this Masters Week. Masters Week is open. Gentlemen, do you want to jump into this right now? Anything we need to talk about before we turn the pick? Because Monday we're going to do the full-on DFS preview. We'll do the mega preview pod. We'll do round by round. We got some special stuff cooked up for the week. Jacob, am I allowed to tease that now or no?
Go for it. Tease it.
Okay. So let me get the schedule correct here. On Thursday, there will be a Twitter space from 2 p.m. Eastern time till about 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Also, we're going to do a live stream 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday, a little bit of a cut sweat. We'll be bringing all that fun stuff to you along with our round by round recaps, the mega preview, everything good. So we're in for a big week here, gentlemen.
The way it should be.
Can I just tease my top 10 storylines for the week?
Sure.
I won't talk about them. I'll just roll through them and we'll talk about them all early next week.
Okay.
Tiger.
Okay. Good start. Very good start.
Is that one or 10?
Yeah.
1 through 10.
Come on, Greg.
Matsuyama on the mend.
Mm.
Course changes. 11 and 15. We'll go deep on that next week.
Oh yeah.
This is a little complex, but I think people are going to recognize that approach play is king at Augusta. And I think some of that is Bryson's struggles are a reminder that, and Mark's been big on this, you can't necessarily overpower the place. You have to be elite with your irons. Spieth's recent struggles, not great. Rory's slam, King Koepka, 64 strokes better than the second best major performer over the last 6 years. Insane.
So good.
Cam Smith, potential player of the year if he wins. Patrons return in full, like everybody. The culmination, two of the four best players of the first quarter of the year are JT and John Rahm, and neither have won a tournament. So is this their week? And then is Scheffler a true, like, legit, this guy's the number one guy in the world? This will be the first time that he has to kind of defend that. So I think there's others you could throw in there, but those were my 10 for the week.
Mm. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about. Want to hear something that probably doesn't matter at all, but I found interesting?
You just summed up our podcast.
Yeah, so I went back and I pulled the hole-by-hole strokes gained back to 2008. The best player on a single hole has been John Rahm on hole number 11. Mark, that's a tough hole.
Well, yeah, if you play 11, one or two under for the week, you're gaining at least four, I would say. And with it now, it's being stretched to 520. I think with the teeing ground moved to the left-hand side, is a nod to Bobby Jones in that Jones designed Augusta National
you know, as an ode to the old course at St. Andrews, where it lets you drive the ball. And if you're prepared to challenge trouble, you get the best angle into these demanding greens. And with the old teeing ground, everything forced your eye line to the left. Now they've removed some pine trees down the right. And with the teeing ground to the left, you've got a better tee shot down the right-hand side, which gives you a flatter lie, because normally the ball's above your feet with the water on the left-hand side. So now you've got a flatter lie. So essentially, you've got an easier approach shot in there. So that all being said, 520, I mean, the thing's nearly as long as number 13, but I think plays harder. And I think that's going to be more of the same, because with a westerly wind, it's going to be a handful. So if you play that sucker even par, the getting strokes in the field.
John Rahm in his last 20 rounds at Augusta National is gaining a half a stroke per round on number 11. Nick Watney destroys number 15. The third one, this might come in handy, Greg. Brooks Koepka on 18 gains a third. Would be a pretty good time come Sunday afternoon to gain about a third of a stroke to the field on 18, wouldn't it?
I think so. If he has it his way, it won't matter. I'll tell you that. But that's not surprising. It's not surprising when Brooks Koepka's name comes up in a major championship conversation. I'm so glad he's healthy. I feel like this is the first major we've seen in since 18 where this is the real Brooks Koepka. I feel like 19 and 20 was just riddled with injury, and it was still phenomenal performance. So I am fired up. I can't wait to see what he does this week. I am sure as I'm standing here that he's going to be a factor come Sunday.
I'm intrigued by Brooks right now. The health is a big deal. It looks like he's sort of got the ball striking under control a little bit. But he and Jeff Pierce better get busy on the greens, because I've been unconvinced. And he's hit some putts that have just not been good. It's not like they've missed, but they just haven't hit lines, I think, that he was intending. So if he's ironed out that, I could be very much on the Brooks Koepka train this week.
Well, welcome aboard, Choo Choo. You can join the party, Mark, on the Brooks Koepka train. All right, any final thoughts? KP, anything else before we get out of here?
I'm fired up. I feel ready. Sometimes I'd feel unprepared for the Masters. We got that long, like we had so many majors jammed into that, whatever, 13 months. And I feel like the lead in has been good this time around. I feel ready for the event.
No offense to the Valero. They can find another spot on the schedule for it, but what if there was a bye week leading in, like how they do the Super Bowl? You get the extra week of just interviews and build up and chatter, and it makes it a whole thing. What if we did that before the Masters?
I don't know if I love that. I could see ending it on like Friday or Saturday, so you get a couple extra days, like they did with Farmers. I thought that was great. I mean, that was for a different reason, but it felt unique. It felt cool. Like it was good. And so I could see doing something like that leading into Augusta.
I like giving them the chance to, some guys want to play the week before, to whether it's taking their mind off it, like Rory said, or, I mean, Brooks has used the week before majors countless times to really sharpen up his game and get the competitive juices flowing. So I think it's a valuable thing. And ultimately, if you feel like you need a week off, you don't play. I mean, there essentially is a bye week before for most of the players in the field at the Masters. And some guys just prefer to play the week before, a much smaller number.
I'm related to a guy who missed the cut the week before and then won. So I don't mind them playing.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Yes. Yes, Mark.
One more thing. Hey, guys. Come join us at noon Eastern tomorrow, Masters on the Range. There may be a dude called Tiger Woods that'll be heavily featured if he's on the range over there. So if you want to see ice and stuff, check the show out. It's going to be fun. Kayla Tillman, me, Brian Kroll, Amanda, Renner, now not Ballyonis anymore. She'll be getting some interviews out there, so it's going to be fun. And tomorrow morning, in honor of you three and Jacob four, I'm going to have my egg salad sandwich and coffee as we prepare for the show. Tradition.
Thank you very much. We accept that gesture. That'll do it for this episode. And keep in mind, if you're a fan and you would like to get your one and done selection in, It's already up. The form is already here. The link is in the description. Come get your $2 million. Come and get it. It's out there. Big thanks to producer Jacob. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman, and you can find on Twitter at Mark_Immelman. That's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And Kyle Porter can be found at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.